Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
That was a strategy. I was like diving with him. Welcome to the extra hour. It's the extra hour, right? That's an extra hour. Oh, cool. That is so cool. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you've got to get it. We're just listening to what's happening, the convergence of spending time with God and prayer and listening and watching, you know, what's God's perspective of the news, God's news behind the news. And we're realizing as we're seeing what's happening that we are repeating 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. We are repeating 50 years ago. And if that is true, if everything remains the same, then 2013, when the four blood moons began,
it's 14. Gonna,
2014, when those moons begin to happen, then that's going to be pretty something, huh?
Yeah, interesting.
And pretty interesting.
To say the least.
To say the most, really. Okay. To say the least?
Yeah, well, think about it. It's interesting because imagine what else is going to happen. I mean, that's just the tipping point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things that are happening right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this, but CUFI, Christians United for Israel, just put out a prayer alert that there's a highly secretive Syrian military unit known as Unit 450 that has been scattering and hiding chemical weapons throughout Syria. And so Christians United for Israel just put that out for us to pray.
Dear God.
But there's stuff happening. You know, so it's just a tip. What else is to come? And we need to stay vigilant in prayer and being watchful. Men and women on the wall for God and for Israel and for what's happening around the world.
Yes, 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 yes. You can find out more about CUFI by going to vfntv.com. We have a link right on the front page for you to get to them there. Listen, this is this is how the enemy works. He pushes at you and pushes at you till he finds a hot button. Mm-hmm. Because you think about it, if the enemy would have known the hot button to get the world stirred up and get America stirred up was chemical weapons, he would have done that a long time ago. But now that they found this is like an epicenter. We just did a little test, an experiment. We gassed our own people.
You think you would get this? His plan is still the same. To steal, kill, and destroy. The battle plan hasn't changed here.
Right. And reportedly, the people that the insurgents, the reports are that they actually did it themselves, since they were to their own people, because they knew that would get the reaction that it did get. And we just don't know who know and who knew and all those different things. And it's just reported. It's alleged. So we don't really know that for a fact.
Vladimir is definitely pushing that narrative.
Yeah, Vladimir said, that's what he said. You know, and if anybody would know, since he lives there, it's a vacation home. And that's where all the ships come in. You know, you think you would know. But now, they find out, if that's true, if they're putting those chemical weapons all different places, then they ain't planning on going nowhere.
No.
And they're realizing now, it's almost like saying a bank robber gets caught and they grab one of the tellers and put a knife at her or his throat. They're taking the Syrian people hostage. Satan's taking the Syrian people hostage by putting a chemical weapon at their throat.
Wow.
And we need to pray for the Arab people. We've got to pray for the Syrian people that are being... This is not all the Syrian people. This is a small percentage that's doing all this. And there are Christian Syrians that are being beheaded. Just 50 years ago when... We'll talk more about that later. Understand that they're being beheaded. They're being burnt. Churches are being burned down. They're being treated horrifically. And you think, well, wonder why. It's Satan, church. Church, Ephesians 6:12, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And understand that this is not a logical argument. There is no logic involved in this.
Right.
It's a war between God and Satan. And whoever is on Satan's side is held captive by him to do his will. I don't care what nation they are. I don't care what gender they are. I don't care how old they are, what they have in their hand. And whoever is given their hearts to God is under his leadership. And there's a lot of people that have given their hearts to God that are not serving either side. which is serving the dark side. And so it, understanding that that's the truth, it doesn't, it's not strange to understand why they would attack immediately, attack Christians and attack Jews, because it's Satan,
yeah,
you know, using some of these folks to be able to do his will. And if you now are walking with Christ in you, he can see you're a Christian. He knows you're a Christian. I mean, you, the glory of God is on your life. I mean, they can see. By the way, Satan can see. It's like, Satan doesn't ever mess with me. He's like, well, maybe you didn't think about whose side you're on. And that's the reason why. Yeah. So, by the way, if you think you're partnering up with darkness, if you think you're making friends with evil, and that you can negotiate your way, and you can't negotiate with evil, but if you think you can do this, you're going to end up in a very, very bad place. And right now, that's where the world's at. You know, people in their logical minds are saying things like, hey, we can talk this thing out. We can do this thing with diplomacy. You can never be diplomatic with evil. You have to say, you're evil, and the day you're not evil, and we see fruit that you're not evil for a long period of time, then we may have coffee and talk about it. And it's like President Reagan really understood.
You were saying in the midst of all that persecution, Charisma News is now reporting that the Christians in Syria, this is what they're saying. They're saying that obviously what we already know, that a lot of the persecution is not being reported. They had a 17-year-old boy who was captured who's come back and told them what was happening. And apparently, according to this woman that they interviewed, this Christian believer, that the UN hasn't seen anything. But the, one of the questions that was posed to her, and they disguised her name, was, what do you see God doing in spite of all the persecution? What, you know, and what's being reported? What is God doing in Syria?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she says. This is so kind of encouraging in the midst of all of this, this tragedy. She says, many of the Muslims' families, because the Muslim families are leaving everywhere. These refugees are scattered all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The country's a battleground. She says that they've come to our church, and now our church has 2,000 families of refugees. Listen to this, 2,000 refugees. They told us, we don't know if this is the real Islam. We said yes to this Islam. This is what they teach us in the Quran, but we don't want to follow Muhammad anymore.
Wow.
We don't want Islam. We want to know the real God. So she says, so we give them a New Testament, and we follow up with them, and we have meetings, we preach the gospel, and they we give them food, and they're saying that God is moving upon these people, and basically what the devil is meaning for evil, God is turning for good. I mean, think about 2,000 Muslims alone, Muslim families are being pushed, pushed, and it's almost like Satan's pushing them right into the arms of God, and they're finding the Lord realize that this is Islam, we don't want this,
right.
We've been following the Quran, we've been following Muhammad, we don't want, and they're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful.
So continue to pray for Syria, continue to pray for the Syrian Christians and what's happening there in the midst of their persecution, that they will rise in this hour through the grace and the strength of the Lord and share the gospel, the good news. I mean, this is that defining moment for them, and I think that defining moment is going to happen to many believers in this country. We haven't seen the persecution that is coming. And hopefully next week we'll get a chance to talk about what happened during Nero's day and what happened to the Christians during at that time. But this is not nothing new. It's we've been talking about it on VFN Radio, JJ, Jews and the Christians. It's about to happen. It's about to happen on a whole different scale.
You can have confidence, you know, I don't want to interrupt you, but you can have confidence when you're actually serving the truth. Because hold on, I mean, if somebody finds out the truth, they're going to find out that you are in the right, and they're going to want, that's they've been searching for God. That's why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. So it's really, I mean, this is encouraging to see that, and we can't forget, you know, we just can't forget. You can't be one dimensional when you're seeing things happening around the world, especially as a believer. We want to get God's perspective. We want to be able to pray, and we want to be able to understand, you know, in context.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't depend on the media to be sharing everything that you need to see. I mean, this is why we're here on VFN Radio, to share by the grace of God a biblical perspective, some godly perspective behind the news that we're seeing every single day. Mm-hmm. And by God's grace, we're doing that every day. And we encourage you to share what you're listening to on VFN Radio. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family members. Share up the slice of bread that we mentioned early in the first hour. We have over 2,000 highlights on the VFN Torch that you can email, that you can post on Facebook, that you can share with people so that they can have that biblical perspective and they can join us. They can join us together in prayer, being watchful, and supporting policies, especially in this country. They're going to stand behind Christians and stand behind Israel because the days are coming are going to be serious. But listen, God is in control. God is totally aware of what is happening.
Amen.
And he will equip us and help those that cry out to him. But you got to cry out to him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cry out to him. If you haven't made him the Lord of your life, make him the Lord of your life today.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you heard, you know, speaking of what's happening with the pressure of Islam, and they're finding out the reality of it. There is reported on CBN News, when it's available to you on the VFN Torch, that in Egypt now, they're forcing Christians to pay the called the jizya tax, but it's also not only called that tax, I'll tell you what it's called in a moment, because we've reported about this on the VFN Torch. It's called the zakat, And the reason, I'll tell you in a minute, the reason why we know about this, because you're going to be really surprised what's happening in America, but this is what they're doing. Word's coming that many in the towns of 20,000, many people in the towns of 20,000 Christians are being forced to pay this particular temple tax, this Islamic law tax, this jizya tax required by the Islamic law. And Islamic extremists have controlled the town since the police were forced, it's reported, since July the 3rd, the day the Egyptian people and their military deposed Mohamed Morsi from the presidency. In other words, this whole caliphate began to take over in this area. According to the Voice of Martyrs, contact in Egypt, the Muslims have forced at least 140 Christians to pay the daily jizya tax, which is the Islamic tax, starting at 200 Egyptian pounds, and has gone as much as what, $15,000.
Wow.
And this one man, he did not pay it, and they actually killed him for not paying the temple tax, because there's three things, remember, the three things that's suspected in the what's written in the Quran and Islamic law, and a caliphate means all of a sudden no longer is, in America, for example, if it had a caliphate, the Constitution is nowhere there anymore. It's being ruled under the Quran, their quote, Bible. And this is what it says. It says you'll either convert to Islam or you'll be in servitude, which means you pay the tax. You work, but you pay the tax and the jizya here, and you have to pay. And obviously it's whatever that you're demanding from the people. And that's because you're a servant of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And third is you die. Remember? That's what they said.
Off the air.
Convert. Right? Servitude or die. And they just killed this man, according to CBN and the World of Martyrs, because he didn't pay, the Voice of Martyrs, because he didn't pay the tax. You think, well, what's that have to do with America? Well, I don't know. Let's just take a look. Looking here on the VFN Torch, there's an article called Washington's Bully Pulpit, Don't Let Them Push You to Do Wrong. And in that, our current president is saying that he believes that Islam is a peaceful religion, and presently that under the 501c3 protections of First Amendment protections of religion and taxes organization, the zakat or the jizya, the temple tax for Islam, is not tax deductible. So he specifically says that he believes he's going to work with Islam. He's going to work with American Muslims so that they, too, can have the benefits of the 501c status, the tax-exempt status. Well, first of all, you know, tax-exempt or not, I mean, that's not the issue here. The issue is, why are we letting anybody bring in something that is governmental? It is not a religion in the sense that, you know, Islam is about, it's about a government, establishing a physical government under a theocracy, which would be in contradict American government. And that's what took so long for Mormonism to be able to be thought about, because they had such a theocracy going on that they were concerned that they would be stronger than, because they have a temple tax. They have a kind of thing like that. And, but then, and so he's saying, hey, we're going to make this more acceptable. Mm-hmm. Well, just look what happened in Egypt. And we're the ones that empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. Morsi was the president of the Muslim Brotherhood, the president of Egypt, who is in the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was forced out of office. This is what happened when he got forced out of office. According to what I just told you, according to the Voice of Martyrs and what happened in this Egyptian town, they're forcing the Christians now to go into servitude. They're going to have to pay this temple tax, the zakat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The jizah. Think about it. It's like, oh my goodness. And we're going to make this acceptable in America? And this is what the Quran says, 2177. Righteousness is not turning your face towards the east or the west. Righteousness are those who believe in God, the last day, the angels, I'm reading from the Quran, the scriptures, and the prophets, and they give the money cheerfully to the relatives, the orphans, the needy, the traveling alien, the beggar, to free the slaves, and they observe the contact prayer and give the obligatory charity called zakat. In other words, they have to give the temple tax. That's what they're mm-hmm. doing. Now, mm-hmm. I believe that the zakat is what you do voluntarily, and the jizah is the forced servitude, and it's all going into the same pot. And by doing that, is they keep their word, they deal with hardships and face the persecution, which would be the jihad situation, but they also use the money, not only for that, they use the money, according to 2177, they use it for war. And these are the truthful, it says, these are the righteous.
Wow.
And you can see this in the VFN Torch. We'll make it a related article to this or whatever. But that's when, so when our president stands up and says that we're going to make that the zakat, the zakat is a Z-A-K-A-T, is a temple tax that you pay to the temple to go to these different areas, and one of those is war. They would call it probably jihad,
right.
The personal struggle.
Right.
And this is the personal struggle, is to free everybody that's not Islamic, from not being Islamic, either by conversion, by servitude, or death. I mean, that would be, you know.
So the president's supporting this.
Right. And the fruit of our current president's choice to be leader over Egypt was for this kind of stuff. And now we're having Christians oppressed, 20,000 Christians oppressed, being forced to pay the jizah, which is the servitude form of that, paying the temple tax.
These are tax-exempt, supposedly tax-exempt dollars are going to be used back into war?
Yeah, and that's the reason, based on the reports, that Congress would not accept that, because
right.
That would be a violation of our Constitution.
Hello.
Because we're called to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. And so here we are today, right now, proof positive. See, what you got to do is just look. Say, is it happening? Because you know them by their fruit. And right now they just killed a Christian, the Voice of Martyrs reports, in Egypt, where our president empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to be able to take a form of leadership there when he invited them to the Cairo speech, when his first international speech, which you can find out and hear yourself on the VFN Torch. And he thought the Muslim Brotherhood would be a good form of leadership. And anybody that knows the Muslim Brotherhood is like, what? They've been outlawed since World War II from many of these places. I mean, even Assad's father, Syria, king of Syria, ran them out of there, you know.
He killed 30 to 40,000 of them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, wow, they must be really, really evil. Even the Egyptian Muslims are marching now with American Christians side by side in America going, what are you doing to Egypt? Why would you put the Muslim, why would you put a terrorist over us? Why would you do this to us, Mr. President? We're talking about a biblical perspective here. And this is the biblical perspective, is the fact that if we sit back and let this, and we feed into this narrative, we participate with the Arab League in wrapping itself around each of these nations, including Syria and Egypt and all that, your brothers, the body of Christ, remember the ones that God said, Jesus said to Paul, why do you keep persecuting me? That would be us persecuting Jesus. If we get behind people and get behind whatever false religions and support them to be over your brothers and sisters in another country, another nation, who is going to kill them, put them in servitude, rape their women, force their children to convert to Islam, we're doing that to Jesus. Mm. We're doing that to Jesus. And secondly, why in the world would we do that to anybody? I mean, not just to Christians. Why would we do that to anybody? Why would we put force what we know not to be true over someone? And so we're seeing that today, right now, on CBN News. They're reporting how in Egypt, in this town in Egypt, they are forcing the citizens there in this town to pay this jizya tax to, this is called the Islamic tax, to people who are not. That's called the servitude. That's be the servitude. You work and you pay us money. And obviously they're picking all these different figures, $203 per week. That's equivalent to $203 a week, up to $15,000, this one man they were demanding from him. And he didn't pay it. And guess what they did? They did the last option that it talks about in the Quran. They took his life. And who was this? Reportedly, according to CBN News and the Voice of the Martyrs, this is the Muslim Brotherhood, the supporters of President Morsi, who's been deposed, who our president and our country helped put into power and now is allegedly supporting in Syria to dethrone King Assad.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Regardless of your child's performance in the classroom, they need your love and support. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller, and here's Cynthia Tobias with a timely reminder.
Your children know that you love them. Do they know what you like about them? Do they know what you have actually focused on that says, this is a strength of yours. I understand that it's hard for you because it doesn't match this, but I love this part so much. I wonder, how can we use that to help you overcome what's frustrating you in class? Because I truly believe that the greatest compliment you can give your child or any human being is that of being understood and valued, and saying, knowing the creator and designer the way I do, he made an awesome person in you. How can we figure out how to get you where you need to be?
Hear more from Cynthia about making the school year a success on our 30-minute radio program on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have?
We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about what's taking place in Egypt, where they're forcing Christians to pay the temple tax, the Islamic tax there, and they even took a man's life, reported by CBN and the Voice of Martyrs, that didn't pay the money. And this is exactly the, of course, that would be considered the, I don't know what they would consider it, but in regards to the Islamic believer paying would be the zakat. And our president was stating, you can see this on the VFN Torch, publicly saying that he wants to change the American laws where the zakat is actually accepted as an acceptable form of nonprofit, where people would begin to give their money and get tax write-off for it. And but the problem with that is not the tax write-off, you know, whatever they want to do with that. But the fact is, it supports war. Part of it is supports jihad. And we read about that, and you can find out more on. You actually see a clip snapshot of the Quran. So you actually see the Quran, because a lot of people don't have a lot of time to read it. But understand that Christianity, the reason that this is a discussion about this, of what's going on. And you're starting to see in America where the church is getting so intertwined in politics, the church begins to think like historically thought. All of a sudden, Christians begin to try to do it through horizontal, try to advance the kingdom through physical and fleshly. And it's built it by hands, and he says that it's not built by hands.
Right.
And this is the difference is, you know, and as I was talking about Yulong in China, I don't know if I was talking on the air about it, but Yulong in China was talking to me, and he said the reason why China doesn't want the church there because they see it as another kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And but the difference is this. The people that are trying to establish physical governmental things, calling it Christian, is and saying this is the church, calling that building or that organization or that, you know, whatever apparatus that's helping you fulfill the Great Commission, but calling that apparatus, that organization, the church, causes people who are in a kingdom already to start getting concerned, because you're saying you're trying to take over here. Mm-hmm. And many would say, because of the mindset, they would say, just like the Catholics did back in the 1500s and the Dark Ages, they would go, oh, yeah. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of God. It's not a physical kingdom. But Yulong was talking about in China, he was talking about the Catholic Church, because they have their own nation. They have their own king, pope, you know, the papacy. And so they're thinking, you're trying to spread your kingdom. Why would you come to China? Why would the papacy come here and want to put ambassadors here and want to put your governors here? And, you know, and you build up a building and you call that a church, then that's part of your kingdom. Why are we going to let you build these
embassies
around us like this? Not even embassies, the fact that they're saying that your kingdom's here. And then you got to understand, and so that's what Islam's doing. Islam is actually is about establishing radical Islam, Muslim Brotherhood, And you could see this on the VFN torch, just the, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101, just a basic whiteboard drawing, A, B, C, this is that. But they want to be able to establish a caliphate. But that word really doesn't mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But this is what they want to do. They want everybody, no matter who they are, this is their understanding that God is one. There is no Trinity. There is no Son of God. Mm-hmm. There is no Spirit of God. And that Jesus is not the Son of God. Mm. He's a prophet. But this is what they believe. And that that Muhammad heard from God. He's a prophet of God. And to follow what Muhammad said in the Quran, that's what the Quran is written, you know, by Muhammad, is to follow the perfect way that things should be done. Government. It's a political thing. It's a government. It's a tangible, physical government. That's why the things call it, that's why they call it tax. That's why you would say, well, why would a religion demand? I could understand why people who serve that God and that religion, well, you know, give money and offerings and whatever you called it, tax or whatever. I could understand that because they're part of the organization. But why would they require people that weren't part of their religion to pay the jizya, the tax? Why would they? Because that's the servitude part of it, because you're in a kingdom. You're in the Islamic kingdom. Notice that when you hear news reports and you have something happening in the name of Muhammad, you hear, you know, somebody's blowing something up, somebody's killing somebody, and they cry out Allah Akbar. They're talking about Muhammad, and they're talking about Muhammad's God and the God they serve. But when they do it in, when they talk about the nation of Islam, they talk about the whole world. But when the manifestation of the evil takes place,
yeah,
they say an Afghan, right, went into a police headquarters and they blew things up. Right. You know, 2 days prior to that, they said he's part of the nation of Islam. Well, the reason why he's part of the nation of Islam, because they see it as one. They just, it's, you know, you would say taking over the world. They would call it evangelizing the world and bringing them into what they would call the truth. Mm-hmm. And that everybody would confess in their mind that Muhammad is the true prophet, they think, they would say. You got to do that. And that's why Christians are in jail right now in Iran, because they won't do that. Mm-hmm. And then you serve a God, their God, Allah, and through Muhammad's writings, and you pray to him, what, four times a day, right? Four or five times a day, okay, off the top of my head. And so their ultimate goal, people say, I'm just terrified because there's going to be a caliphate coming. It's like, that's their plan. The plan is to advance their kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel like the conversion is a good thing, that if you convert to Islam, you're converting to what they believe is the truth. You can't deny reality. That's what they believe. And it's the antithesis, by the way, of the Word of God. I mean, we got a video and some audio that you got to see on the VFN torch that puts them side by side to understand the difference between Christianity and Islam. And so it's establishing a political, governmental nation of Islam. But they're not going to say on the news, and the news buys into it too, because the news lets them, people report, hey, this is the nation of Islam, that great things are happening.
Right.
And they talk about how big it is, and it's growing, and it's advancing, it's migratory into Great Britain and all these different areas. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're just, everybody's bowing in the streets and all, the nation of Islam, nation of Islam. But all of a sudden, when somebody's forced to pay the jizya, mm-hmm, they don't say the nation of Islam, one of the factions in us is coming against us, so we came down in the region of GPS location in our nation, mm-hmm, and now we're forcing them to pay the jizya. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't say, they just go all the way down. Well, a community in Egypt,
right,
had some of Morsi's supporters who are now forcing, it's like, that's part of the nation of Islam.
Right.
You know, whether right or we know wrong, that's their beliefs. So you have to understand. You have to understand people. You have to understand where they're coming from. And if people believe it's right to them. That's how they're going to operate. That's their perspective, whatever they believe it is. And they'll begin to have those kind of behaviors that respond to their beliefs. And if somebody tells their little child that if you die in the name of Muhammad, this will be your greatest thing you've ever done for the family. Mm. And so, which would be called jihad, a form of jihad. And so a mother will take her child and they will speak to that child and tell the child about all this great honor. And she's convinced that she's going to be sending her child directly to heaven. Mm. Family's going to be blessed. And the child doesn't have to live through this life or whatever. Mm. And so she'll strap bombs around the child and think they're doing God a favor and walk right into the Ben Yehuda Mall in Israel and set that thing off and kill the poor child in the name of a false god and kill Jews and whoever else is there. I mean, we were there. It could have happened to us as well.
Yeah.
And it is because you have to understand how it works. So when you say, hey, you know, Islam is a friendly religion that we need to just somehow let it be recognized in a way that the Quran is a peaceful book and that the goal is not conversion, servitude, or what's happening in Egypt. If we do that, what's going to happen? Their natural progression is, hey, we need to take over here. This is, you know, we got to evangelize these Americans. We got to convert them. We're going to have to get them. We got to get out there and do what we do.
Make them pay that jizah.
Or they probably would hope that you would pay, you know, the zakat, which means you would have converted. You would have admitted, you would have denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God, which is busting hell wide open, by the way, if you do that. Mm-hmm. And then now you're part of you're voluntarily wanting to honor their God. If you don't, then they would, another part of conversion of America would let you pay the jizya, what's happening in Egypt. I mean, listen, if you're complaining about the taxes in America, right? I mean, even Jesus talked about, used the analogy of a tax collector when he talked about, you know what I'm saying? The people that work in the tax offices in America, we have human beings who are compassionate, who are our neighbors, who were trying to work this thing out under God and under our Constitution. It is nothing like another nation's where people are being forced. And it's definitely not like the Nation of Islam. In the context of being that you've got to pay the zakat, part of that's to fund jihad. And if you're not part of if you're not a Muslim, you're going to have to be, if you want to live, you're going to have to be in servitude, which means you're going to have to pay tribute to their God, which is the jizya. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pay the jizya according to the Voice of Martyrs and according to history and according to the Quran, what just happened in Egypt is they killed them. They killed them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when our founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence was not a good idea. They were declaring their independence from all this stuff. All this stuff. Every bit of it. They were saying, this is something that we do not any longer want to be dependent. We are independent of the stuff. You know, all these religions that are trying to take over the world, all these kings who are trying to take over religions, and the mixture of all of that. And in 1776, in July the 4th, 1776, they just signed a Declaration of Independence from that. And in 1787, September the 17th, in September the 17th, which would be like next Tuesday anniversary, they sign the United States Constitution.
Wow.
And then in 1791, December the 15th, 1791, they brought in the Bill of Civil Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And the first one is, The government shall make no laws concerning religion. This is what it says specifically. Let me pull it out and read it for you. First Amendment to the United States Constitution, because we declared our independence from the king and all the things that we're just talking about, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of press or the right of people to peacefully, not jihad here, peacefully assemble and to petition the government for the readiness of a grievance. Understand this, that every congressman, every president, every judge, every military soldier, every citizen of America who became a citizen, and citizens now should stand up and take the Pledge of Allegiance that says this, that we take an oath to defend this Constitution. Think about it. This Constitution that we're talking about from enemies, foreign and domestic. And what we have here, if we start allowing this to happen, like we don't think if we sow these seeds in Egypt, that these seeds are not going to be sown in our nation, and they have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't protect America and the Constitution from domestic enemies, people that want to hurt Americans, people who want to put them under jizya or zakat, conversion or servitude, either one, as long as the money's coming in and paying tribute to the thing, to the government, then we're going to lose this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong for you to expect your congressman, your senator, your president, your generals, and your neighbor to have an allegiance. I mean, walk into the graveyards of the soldiers, your brothers and sisters and sons and daughters who gave their life, who defended the Constitution, which we stand, this flag, this nation, what we stand, one nation under God. They defended it with their lives. It's not something that kind of we squeeze into our life. That's actually the bylaws that actually helps us survive as a nation. That's why the police officer does not intrude your home. That's why he or she can't stop you just because on the road. That's why they can't search your property and your premises and all that, because of the Constitution. That's why I can talk to you right now freely over VFN radio and on TV. Understand, the reason why I can do that is because of the Constitution, what God is allowed to have in America.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing Islam to flourish and spread in America, those who are fully loyal to Islam would see it positive for Americans to convert and pay zakat, which the president's trying to work out through the government to get them supported in that, or jizya, what the president already worked out in Egypt for those Christians being oppressed, and we're not lifting a hand to help them. What's the answer? The answer is Jehoshaphat told us, look up. Realize you can't win this in the flesh. You're not supposed to build some physical government. The kingdom of God is like this. It enters your heart. You can't look over there to the left. You can't look over to the right. Jesus said, don't believe anybody when they tell you, look over there. There it is. Because why? The kingdom of God is within you. That's why you can go. That's why a Chinese believer who has a passion for their Arab people and the Islamic nation can sell themselves as a slave, as a servant, and go work in the household of a Muslim family, which, by the way, the Quran tells them to treat that person really well but in their household, in hopes that they may win one of them. And she can still be loyal to the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is within her. The kingdom of God, if you're a believer, the kingdom of God, the dominion's inside of you. That's why if you got to spread the kingdom, you got to break loose from the corral, the bondage, the buildings, the stuff. I mean, hey, the buildings are cool. I'm not saying anything, but you got to go outside of it. The way the kingdom spreads is you spread and you tell people about Jesus and the love of God. You don't convert them to your political persuasion. You don't say, hey, the answer to life is a conservative party. God laughs at that. The answer to mankind is God's son, Jesus Christ. And when they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, this is what you do. You go to them. Get permission to speak in their life and you tell them about the goodness of God and the love that God has for them.
And you tell them that God will forgive them and bring them into his family. You tell them this. And what's going to happen is when you begin to share the gospel of God, the good news of God, the word of God, and you begin to tell them the things that God does. And if you're around a place of people that call themselves believers and you're not seeing what happens in the word of God happening around you, tell them it's not happening. See what happens. Then find out. Listen, you only have a limited amount of lifetime. You have a limited amount of lifetime. You got to answer alone for yourself. Don't think that you're going to be able to point to any witnesses or suspects. You stand alone before God. Get as quickly as you can around a body of believers who believes God, who not only believes God has a son named Jesus, but they believe the book of God and the miracles of God and the power of God. And they see in their presence the fulfillment of what God said happens with the believers. Because this is what happens when you actually move in the context of what I'm talking about and share with that particular person who's not a believer. God will manifest his kingdom in their presence, and they'll be healed, they'll be delivered, a word of knowledge, the power of God. Somehow God will just love on them. He will do something to share with them how much he loves them, and they will know supernaturally. They'll just know God loves me. And at that point, I'm not talking about Islamic kingdoms. I'm not talking about Catholic kingdoms. I'm not talking about religious kingdoms, all these earthly kingdoms. I am talking about the kingdom of God which dwells in the heart of every believer. And then when this happens, when they sense the presence of God and the healing, the deliverance, whatever happens to them, how God shows himself to them, that's when you look at them and square in their face and you say, listen, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. That's why you're telling them. You're not saying the conservative party's near. You're not saying whatever your political persuasion is near. You're not saying the organization's here. You're not saying the caliphate's near and your own religious caliphate, whatever it is. You're saying the kingdom of God is near. They're experiencing the dominion of God, and now they have a chance to enter into God's kingdom. That you both may be cupbearers to an evil king. You both may be servants to Muslims in a Muslim household. You may be living in a country or have parents or children or whatever that are living for the devil, but you're inside your heart. They have a chance to say, you know what? I want to make this King Jesus the Lord of my life. And guess what? At that point, the true kingdom, God's kingdom, enters into your heart. And now you are in the kingdom of God. Did you change the political landscape? No. Did you change borders of your nation? No. Did you force anybody to do anything? No. Did anybody force you? No, you can't be forced in the kingdom of God. You choose to be in the kingdom of God. But guess what? Everywhere you go, the kingdom goes. And he said, when the kingdom is spreads, when the kingdom is preached to all, then the end will come. And if the kingdom of God is within you, think about this. If the kingdom of God is within you, you're a kingdom container. You're a kingdom. You contain the kingdom of God. So now if you want to loose the kingdom, if you want to advance the kingdom, don't start bringing out nails and boards and plaster and sheetrock and crystal and all that. Go tell somebody about God. And you could stay totally under a Islamic nation who lives under the caliphate, paying jizya, and be a powerful man and woman of God in the kingdom of God. And they may let you go in and be like a cupbearer. Their grand supreme leader allows you to be in their household and serves them. And God gives Pharaoh a dream. Mm. And all of a sudden the glory of God, bam, God reveals the dream to you. And you tell them, and Pharaoh, an evil man, says, I'm going to put you over. I'm going to put you over this caliphate. I'm going to put you over this nation. I'm going to put you over all this evil stuff we had here, because obviously you are the man. If you get this kingdoms messed up and you start trying to build natural kingdoms, that will never happen. But if you stay in the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God, no matter what, where you are, I mean, you could even serve God in a church building, by the way. You could serve God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It could be anywhere. And so the kingdom of God, that's the difference. When you see people advancing Islam, they're advancing a governmental, physical kingdom here on earth, of which the caliphate, their, quote, Bible, their Quran, is the operating principle. It's their constitution. And there's three ways: convert and pay zakat, like our president is trying to get approved, or
be forced to pay the tax if you're not under servitude, which would be the jizya, what's happening right this moment in Egypt. Or, according to Voice of Martyrs, what just happened in Egypt, the guy who didn't pay, they killed him. Let's go. Let's tell people about God. Go where I send you. Go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, yeah. I was talking about, I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that miracle. The one that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And, We were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing. And all of a sudden, he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on right here?
Get another phone book.
Pillow, that pillow thing may have slid out, and so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was, and finally he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like, amazing.
Everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'll be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state because he was heading back to his state. And he prayed. I said, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I said, I'll let you go.
He didn't stay in
prayer. I'm sure you can work this puppy out. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. You know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those all seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh, my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah, that's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah, actually, it was the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, Mr. You Know Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups, you know, hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me for the last moments is Pat and John. What a program. I'm so excited about it. In just a little while, we're going to have Michael Boldea be joining us soon, and we're going to be able to broadcast to all of our audience around the world a Now Word, what's taking place. So Michael Boldea is going to be on VFN Radio. You got to hear this because it's going to be a word, what God's saying to him, but also what God said to him and to his grandfather, which a lot of you guys may know as well. And it was a word about Russia, China, and America, and I even believe North Korea, and what's taking place. And it's taking place right now. It's so important because prophecy is something God tells you before it happens, which means whatever point you get a hold of, as long as you get a hold of it and do what's right before it actually happens, then you responded to it. But a prophetic word heard after it happens is useless for somebody who didn't listen. It's sad. But somebody who did listen, it's actually a time of remembrance and celebration. And so I want to encourage you, stay tuned to VFN Radio. You got to hear Michael Boldea talk about with Hand to Help Ministries and about what the Lord has been saying to him. And this word is coming to pass about Gog and Magog right now, about Russia. And so we're excited to be able to have them. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.